Amen. Thank you, Brody. Hey, everyone. It's good to be with you today. We have some special guests with us, and they're in the third row here. We have Elisa and Sam and Caleb, and they are visiting from the Far East. They're one of our ministry partners in that area of the world. We've been supporting them for many years now, and they're going to be available over in the dialogue area there if you want to get to know them and hear their story. I would encourage you to connect with them before you leave today. We are beginning a new series, and that is called Spirit of the Living God. I'm excited about this. This has been about a year in the making, because so many of us have a familiarity with Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, who lived among us, and he lived the life we couldn't live. He died a death we couldn't pay, and he rose again on the third day. And since he was like one of us, we can relate to that. And then there's the Heavenly Father who is over all, and his will is in all. And it's easy to connect with that, even though we may not have the perfect Father in our lives. We have one who is over all, and we all want that. But the Holy Spirit, it's almost like you could cue the music. Because we get kind of freaked out by that. It's a supernatural force that's in us. And just even to think like that is to live outside of the context of this world that denies the existence of the supernatural and kind of lives on your own strength, your own power. Even the Christian life sometimes, when you ignore the Spirit, you think, if I just try harder. Or if you say, I'll never do that again, God. I promise I'll never. And then you do it again. That's power of the flesh, not power of the Spirit. So we've designed this four-week series that I really hope you'll connect with. Because I'm praying. Here's what I'm praying. That everyone will know that by faith in Jesus Christ, you can have the Holy Spirit in you. Secondly, that you recognize the Spirit in your life when you go to the Word, when you follow Christ outside of the Word, when you're living your life and you leave this place and you do what you do throughout the week, that you would recognize the role of the Spirit in your life, and then you would respond to the Spirit. You would be someone who ultimately reflects more of Jesus, less of yourself. I believe, I just think about the potential of this room alone, because in a few minutes, if I quit preaching, I'll say amen, and amen doesn't mean God's story is over. It means that God's story is beginning in you. And when you leave this place, I just think about all the people God is going to entrust in front of you this week. And think of all the circumstances that the Spirit can guide you in this week. And it just excites me. That's why I love waking up on a Sunday morning, because I get to share this message with you and the potential of it. If we just realize what God has given us in the Holy Spirit, we would be people who would be different. And we can make a difference in our community, in this region. So when you think about just talking about the Spirit and talking about a topic like this and the character of God, I kind of think about this picture. Hello? Survey said. Oh, there it is. Of the Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon. How many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon? Okay, good. How many of you want to go to the Grand Canyon? Okay, I cannot give you pictures that describe the Grand Canyon. We've had a couple, Kent and Marsha Pope, who did rim to rim last week, and they survived. We have a couple going later this month, Curtis and Debbie Clam. They're right over there. Pray for them that they don't die, because they're going to be going rim to rim and then wake up the next morning and go rim to rim back to their car. How about that? Okay. But when you look at something like this, it's roughly 18 miles from rim to rim, but the whole park is over 2,000 square miles, and the strata of it, and the immensity of it. You're driving in Arizona, and you know, there's kind of hills around you, but then you walk through this path, and you see something like this, and the immensity is just overwhelming. And I kind of think, Joe, you have 30 minutes to tell people who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, and how to respond to him. That's what I feel like, okay? It's kind of like the vacation episode where they just kind of said, hey, they looked at the Grand Canyon for 3 seconds and then got back in the car. Yeah, but this is big. This is big. And I can't do it full justice, but I can start the conversation, and we'll continue the conversation over the next 4 weeks. I hope you'll make this place a priority so you can lean in and it can be a springboard for your being a person who is led by the Spirit apart from this place. Okay, and when we think about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the relationship that you have with God is made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in any relationship, it's going to require you to be intentional. It's going to require to know who that person is, what they're in your life and what they're doing in your life, and then how to be responsive to that. Relationships build when you're intentional and available for them. So the Holy Spirit is no one new. You just have to open up the Bible. First page, you'll get it. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, in verse 2 of Genesis 1, it says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. He was there. There was never a time when he wasn't. And we believe in the triune God. We have the Father over us. We have the Son beside us. And we have the Spirit within us. And that triune God was there in the beginning, in fellowship. Creation is basically an invitation by the triune God to have relationship with the God who created us. The prophets pointed to the coming of the Holy Spirit and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Joel, one of them, when he looked around and saw a faithless Judah and the land of Israel was plagued with locusts, which, by the way, we need to pray for Israel. I mean, if you've seen some of the news reports on what's happening with Hamas in Israel right now, it's in a state of war. And that place, I just love that place and the people of that place. So I've been praying for them throughout my day. But here Joel says, and it will come to pass that when you return to me, when you return to the Lord, that he would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. This is what he said. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. And the result of this is there will be a time when, he says in verse 32, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Jesus shows up on the scene, and Matthew, Mark, Luke detail his whole story. John the Baptist was the person who would prepare the way for Jesus, and his ministry preached. And it said, look, there's going to be someone who comes, who fulfills the prophets, and who is the Messiah. And this one, is going to be the one who baptizes us in the Spirit, who pours out the Spirit into our lives. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus. Jesus proclaimed it, that he would send the Holy Spirit. In John chapters 14 and 16, I would encourage you sometime, if you want to read three passages, look at John 14, 15, and 16. They detail what the role of the Spirit is. But Jesus says this in John 14, verse 16. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. That word paraclete is the Greek word for that helper. And we'll dig down into what that means in a second. But Jesus pointed to it and proclaimed that he would send the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is arrested then, and he's tried, he's crucified, he's buried. The third day he rises. And after the resurrection, Jesus appears to his disciples. Once in Galilee, when he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? And then in Acts chapter 1, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And in Acts chapter 2, it happens. The Holy Spirit is poured out on believers. It's interesting. It says in Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, all the Jews from all around the world would come into Jerusalem for this festival because it marked the giving of the law to Moses. And yet what God was doing at that celebration was he's giving his Spirit to his church. In Pentecost, in chapter 2, verse 2, it says, and suddenly on that time, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And as you continue reading in that passage, it says they were given languages that they didn't know before, but that were specific languages of people who were celebrating Pentecost at that time, and they heard the mighty works of God. In other words, they heard about who Jesus was and what he did. You think about what God was doing here. He was taking the gospel. He was sharing it with people from all over the world so that when they left that celebration, they could literally take the gospel to the end of the earth. And it was all through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, Peter starts preaching after this because some people saw these different languages being spoken and they said, it's pretty early in the morning. These people are drunk, because that's sometimes, if you've ever heard a foreign language, you didn't know what it sounds like and it looks like typical people speaking weird languages. They're drunk, Peter said. They're not drunk, but this is exactly what the prophet Joel prophesied. He said that God would send out his Spirit. Look at what he says when he preaches this message before them in Acts 2:32. He said, this Jesus whom you crucified, this Jesus God raised him up, and we're all witnesses of that fact, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. In other words, this is happening. This is happening. You have the power of the Holy Spirit now in your life. And so when you see this, we have to ask, if this is the Holy Spirit who he is, what is he here to do in our lives? Well, there's three answers to this, and I've kind of simplified things, but the Spirit is going to be a guide. This word parakletos, there's several interpretations of this word. They all kind of mean the same thing. It's someone who comes alongside you and speaks knowledge, speaks encouragement, speaks love. And the Holy Spirit is that one who comes in us and speaks to us and leads us. In a sense, you know, if you think about your relationship with God being the Grand Canyon and you navigating the Grand Canyon, you need a guide. You need a map to guide you in something that massive. And in your life, you have challenges against you and resistance against you. You must have the Holy Spirit leading you in order for you to survive in this life. And so the Spirit is our guide. He's our guide in three areas. He's a guide to the truth and in the truth of God. He's a guide to the power and in the power of God in your life. And he's your guide to the love of God and in the love of God for your life. And you think about these three things. Let me share them with you. And I want you to think about something happening in your life where you need more of the truth, more of God's power, and more of God's love. Let's look at that first one. He is our guide to the truth of God. The Spirit's role, as Jesus said it, is to guide you into the truth. Look what it says in John 16. Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's saying, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. This is fascinating. That we have been given the Spirit of God to show us what is right and good and just for us. And so many times the Spirit of God is really shown just as that light in our lives. It enlightens our eyes. We can see who God is. We can see what he's asking us to do. And we can look and follow him and live in the truth. The Spirit of God, if you've come to Christ, was actually active before you realized it. Because the Spirit of God brings everyone to a conviction in their own hearts of their need for Christ and gives you faith to believe in Christ. That's all been something on. When you know, we so many times when we went from a place of not knowing to knowing, we usually go, and then the light came on, right? That's when you finally understood. And that capacity to do that was because the enlightening work of the Holy Spirit. He turns the light on. How many of us are, we don't know what to do with our job? We don't know what to do with that kid in our lives who just kind of grew up and wants life on their own terms. We don't know what to say when someone is mean to us or has offended us. We need the truth of God in our lives. Do you know the Holy Spirit is a promise from God to guide you in the truth? So you're never without the truth when you have the Holy Spirit. You can always have access to the truth of God when you have the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Holy Spirit guides us in the power of God. And again, there's something at work in us. It's called the flesh. And flesh is, whatever I think about the flesh, it's my self-centeredness. It's life on my terms, the way I want it, enjoying the joy or privileges of things I want, not necessarily the heart of God. And we're going to learn next week, which I'd encourage you to come back with, as we talk about what does it mean that the Holy Spirit actually dwells in you. When we talk about that challenge of the flesh and the spirit at work in us. But we're promised the very power of God. What did Jesus say to his disciples in Acts 1:8? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And it's power here, he says. You'll be a witness from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, he said this to people who for most of their lives didn't travel a lot of miles. They were pretty sedentary. They stayed in their groups with their clans in their tribe. And he would said, you are going to give power to advance the gospel to the end of the earth. That's fascinating. You know, oftentimes when I've preached the gospel, I've talked about you having the forgiveness of sins. And that's certainly a truth of the gospel because you recognize your need to be saved and that's applied to you. Your sins are forgiven. But you're also given the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit in your life. So it's not just the forgiveness of sins that you receive. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're given that. Many times we just think, okay, I've got hell insurance. I can live however I want. You know? We have the Holy Spirit who can teach us to live the way God created us to live, where we're reflecting the glory and the beauty of Jesus, someone far greater than ourselves. It's all because of the power of God. You know, many people, this is a car without an engine, and many of us drive our cars and we don't realize the engine. I've not looked at my engine in months. Yet every time I get in the car and turn the ignition switch, I operate with the power of the engine. And many of us can just look pretty as Christians, but not rely on the power of the Spirit. And it's pretty much like we're living like we have no engine. We have an engine, and it's the power of God in our lives. And then the Holy Spirit guides us in the love of God. It guides us to the love of God and in the love of God. We must know that love that God sources us, but the Spirit is to move in our hearts, to make us love God more and to make us love each other more. That's why worship is so important, because we as a group of people come from all different backgrounds, all different families, all different stories, and God unites different people to the same Jesus, and he unites us to himself. And we look around and go, we may be different. There may be different differences outside of this place, but we serve the same Jesus. The Holy Spirit is that one. He connects us into that love. And so the only chance you've got of loving someone different than you and loving someone unlike you or loving someone you disagree with is through the power of the Holy Spirit. I love what Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 13. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That fellowship word there is koinonia. It's called, basically interpreted, loving fellowship. Welcome to Koinonia Bible Church. It's Fellowship Bible Church because we celebrate that we, through Christ, have been united back to God, united into the grace of Jesus, and united into the people of God. We're in a loving fellowship. And so as the world looks at us, they need to see love. They need to see the love of God and our love for each other. Because the Holy Spirit is all about that. So what's our response to the Spirit? We know who he is. We now know what he does. Did I tell you we're going on a trip in the Grand Canyon today? I don't mean to blow your minds. And you're hanging with me, so that's good. What's my response to the Spirit? Well, I'll give you the answers and then we'll go through each one. There's four responses. Number one, we need to receive the Spirit. If you haven't received the Spirit, but you also need to know you have the Spirit if you've received Jesus. Secondly, you need to recognize the role of the Spirit in your life. You need to respond to the Spirit. And ultimately, you want to reflect more of Jesus because that's the role of Jesus, to make Jesus in our lives, to make us look and be formed to look more like Jesus. Let's look at that one, receive the Spirit. When those who first heard this message back in Pentecost, they asked, what should we do? It says, scriptures literally say they were cut to the heart. In other words, they came down to a point that they realized, oh my goodness, that which God has provided us in Christ, we killed, we crucified him. We're toast, basically. So what do we do now to make this better? And what does Peter say to them? Peter says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. He reminds us that when you put your faith in Christ, when you turn from your sin to trust in Christ, you not only have your sins forgiven, but you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Later, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul reminds the church in Ephesus when they received the Spirit, and he says this, in him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, being Christ, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So he reminds them, when you believed, you received. There's some people who believe that, no, you get the Spirit when you're literally baptized under the water, because that does that. And I'm just saying, I don't see that in scriptures. I do see the command to be baptized once you believe, but you're given the Spirit immediately when you put your faith in Christ. And just like in a few minutes when we celebrate communion, communion does not forgive our sins. Christ has done that for us. But the church celebrates what Christ has done through this remembrance of it. This doesn't work salvation. Your sins aren't forgiven because you take this. It's forgiven because you put your faith in the only one who can forgive you, Jesus. And baptism is a picture in the same way of you being identified with Christ. And you were once in your sin, but after a while we bring you up out of the water. And we say, but now you're alive to Christ, right? That live to God through Christ. That's a celebration of you already being washed by the Spirit in your life. And so if you have believed in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. You went, who, me? I don't recognize him. That's the problem. We're still trying to follow Jesus on our own power rather than the power that's within us. So before I move on, I just thought as I was preparing this week, and even going into the weekend, how many people God is going to entrust to us this week who don't know yet Jesus? And I know that every week you may come here with a background that just thinks in the back of your mind, I've got to make things right with God. It's up to me if I'm going to be a Christian. And the scriptures just remind you there's nothing you can do to save yourself. You don't put your 50% in and God puts his 50% in and together you have 100%. Because none of us can be good enough to earn God's acceptance. None of us can. That's why Jesus had to come. If you could be good enough, Jesus would have never had to come and live and die and rise for you. But none of us can. Welcome. Welcome to a family of failures. We all have to realize that there's nothing I can do to save myself. And just your capacity to catch that one is a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, came into our lives and told us, hey, you can't be good enough, but rest. Rest. Don't try striving anymore because there was someone named Jesus who lived and died and rose for you. All you have to do is believe in him. It's the greatest deal in history of humanity. It came at an infinite cost to God through Christ, but it's for anyone who would believe. Just like the prophet Joel would say, so anyone who believes on the name of the Lord will be saved. So before we move on, let me just offer that up to you. If you thought up to this point that it's all about me if it's going to be in relationship with God, or you think about that God loves me because of what I've done, I want you to take a flip. I want you to repent from that basically and say there's nothing I can do to save myself, but Jesus did. I believe that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose again for me. I receive his work for my life. And God, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because he will put the Holy Spirit in you. And you know what? That's a great reality. That's a great reality. You see that the fruit of the Spirit in your life is more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. those nine pictures of the fruit of the Spirit in your life are not these, not always these spectacular, supernatural manifestations, but they are real, and they will happen in your life if the Spirit's at work in it. Receive the Spirit. Secondly, recognize the Spirit. Recognize the Spirit. And do you know one of the things I do before I go before the Lord in prayer, in His Word? And I go through our daily devotion that we do. And before I open up the Word, I just make this simple prayer. I say, God, I recognize that Your Spirit is within me and that You want me to know the truth, You want me to live in Your power, and You want me to reflect Your love. So when I open up the Word now, would You lead me and guide me? And would You show me who You are, who I am, and how I can respond to You? Just that simple prayer. It's amazing. That's recognizing that the Spirit is there in your life. Do you realize in relationship, which is that big focus on what we're talking about this week, how important it is for you to recognize them and how relationships kind of level off in their depth when you quit looking at the person or recognizing them? You want to not love someone? Ignore them. You want to stagnate or even decrease in your love for someone? Don't recognize their presence or call out the value that they are in your life. And so we need to be people who recognize that and recognize the Spirit. This is what Jesus said in John 14:26. He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So there's two aspects of this. He would teach us all things when we go to His Word and learn it. And secondly, He'll call to it or bring to your remembrance all that God has said to us in His Word. So when we leave the Word, guess what? We don't leave the Holy Spirit. He's with us, and He'll go, if the Word has talked to us about speaking the truth or being an encouragement, we'll have an opportunity to recognize that when we're away from the Word, the Spirit is still at work in us. Which leads me, once we receive the Spirit through faith in Christ, now that we recognize the Spirit, we're called to respond to the Spirit. Respond to the Spirit. I like what Galatians 5:25 says, that if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That means we're people who speak and act in a way that reflects Christ. That means there were people that are intentional and are available throughout our day to respond to the Spirit's prompting in our lives. And it can be in small ways and in larger ways. Let me tell you a small way. Just the other day, my wife was getting ready and I was just finishing up eating downstairs before our day would begin. And as I was walking up the steps, I just sensed, it wasn't an audible voice, but it's just a voice in the back of my mind that said, "Hey, tell Cheryl you love her today." And for some reason I said, in the back of my mind, "I don't want to tell her I love her today." I don't know why. I'm not telling you, I can understand everything my mind is thinking. I don't want to say, kept taking more steps. I don't want to tell her, Joe, she is a valuable person in your life. Tell her you love her. I told her I loved her when I married her, okay? 31 years ago. No, tell her you love her. You don't know what her day is going to face, and she needs to know that you're with her today. So I went, "I love you, Cheryl." And she said, "Oh, thank you so much. That means thank you so much." And she came and gave me a kiss. Score, okay? Now, here's the deal. I didn't know what she was going to face. She herself didn't know what she was going to face that day. But God knew she needed an "I love you." Do that. Send the text. If God brings a friend to mind that you know is going through a difficult time, when God brings a thought to you that goes, "I'm thankful for that person," call them. Connect with them. When you appreciate someone, there's still going to be that voice in you goes, "Don't tell them you appreciate them. They may be, I don't know, they may feel this about you. You may look," say it. Say it. Act according to the Spirit. How many times when you're in a company meeting or you're in an academic meeting or you're in a project and you know the truth is being compromised and the Spirit leads you in the truth. You know this, right? And there's that voice that says, hey, you can't do this if you're my follower. That's not the truth. You'd be lying. That's deception. That doesn't show people the truth of who God is. And God is the truth, right? So you need to be willing to be led by the Spirit to go, hey, is anyone else thinking this is not the truth? It's not true that we say this or do this. It's not right that we act this way. Is anyone else thinking that? Because I feel this. I think this. You know, who is God going to have in that room besides you if you're the only believer in that room to stand for the truth? Yeah, so it's courageous. How do you do that? Not by your power. You're going to do it by the power of the Spirit who's in you. We need to be people who are responsive to the Spirit. Sometimes that's going to be spectacular. Other times it's going to be very mundane things like just tell your wife you love her. How many of our kids are going through a difficult time where you're busy too? You're getting ready and you're late for work. And you know they need a, hey, I'm with you today. I love you today. I'm so thankful you're my child. You need to say that. That's a prompting of the Spirit. He would lead you to do that. We need to be think about this. If we just were more responsive to the Spirit when we left this place, how many people would see more of Jesus when we're out there and we're responsive to him? I had a friend of mine, and he was leaving out of town this week, and he was just crazy busy trying to get everything in order, and he had to stop at Dillon's to pick up 5 items, and he was always, already when he's walking, and he's thinking about, I know where that aisle is, and that aisle is, that is to get those things, and so he's walking like this, he picked his head up, and a guy coming out at Dillon's, he just saw the story this week, they had lost someone through a passing. And the Spirit just prompted him to say, hey, I have heard you lost someone. And you know, they sat outside of Dillon's for 15 minutes. And he ended up closing in prayer with him. But I'm telling you, you have no idea what God would do if he just simply say, I'm available for your Spirit. Give me the words that you want me to say. Give me the thoughts you want me to think. Give me the actions that I could do to make you greater on this earth. Respond to the Spirit. You know, we may not get our 5 items, okay? But life is far more and better than 5 items from Dillon's, even though I like Dillon's, okay? Nothing against Dillon's. Just be responsive. Just be responsive. And finally, reflect Jesus. Because the totality of everything the Spirit does is to make the name of Jesus greater on earth as he is in heaven. Jesus said that the Spirit, that helper, that paraclete, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Do you see the Trinity in this? Jesus is speaking, and he's saying, I'm obedient to my Father. He has given me his will. I have shared that with you, and I'll give you the Spirit now to declare to you all that we have for you. And it will ultimately be to glorify the person and the work of Jesus. And you know that it's not the Spirit if it doesn't reflect Christ. If it's all about you and you use the Spirit to do that, like God told me to tell you to give me $1 million, okay? That's not reflecting Jesus. That's after my endeavors or my desires. So don't let anyone try to, you know, say it's God when it doesn't make Jesus greater or bring him glory. So look at these 4 areas here. If you haven't yet, I ask you to believe in Jesus and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. That's what everyone will have when they put their faith in Christ. And if you are a believer here, I would ask you again, recognize the role of the Spirit in your time in the Word, in your time in the world. And respond to the power of the Spirit. I'm just looking at this room right now. And I see those of you who are retired. And I think about all that God has for you. None of you are without purpose. You have been repurposed in a different place, in different environments, to make the name of Jesus greater through the working of the Spirit in your life. I think about all of you who are working and will put in 40, 50, 60, 70 hours of work in your week. And I think about all the people and all the contracts and all the decisions you'll be making with the truth, with the power, with the love of the Spirit in your life. And I think of some of you in grade school and high school and middle school. I think about all the students you're going to be around. Perhaps there's never going to be a more opportune time for you to live in the power and the truth and the love of the Spirit than right where you're at now, making Jesus greater with your friends around you. Because that's how the world will see. And how we, the church, be the church when we're not in church, right? When we're out in the world, we have the Holy Spirit. Just as the disciples heard Jesus said, I'll not leave you as orphans, you'll have the Spirit in you. It's actually better in you than if I were right here next to you. And he was telling them, if I don't leave, you don't get the Holy Spirit. So I'm going away and I'm putting the Holy Spirit. And that group of people, once they realized they had the Holy Spirit and they recognized and responded to the Holy Spirit and reflected Jesus, the world was never the same. They literally took the gospel and it moved out of their neighborhoods into the end of the earth. And Jesus became greater. Why? Because they believed what they had. Forgiveness of sins and the promise of the Holy Spirit. You are that church. You are those people who can be the people of God in our generation, and we can make a world of difference. And before we leave this place, I want to reflect Jesus with you by the taking of communion. I'm going to ask you to grab these elements that you have here and again remind you, if you have put your faith and trust in Christ and you're a believer, take this with us, even if you don't normally come to fellowship. If you've put your faith and trust in Christ, you're my family. We'll be with each other forever. And so we get the opportunity to make this message, make this sermon, make our lives about Jesus by taking this. Because what we're saying is these two elements, the body and the blood of Jesus, reflect for us the truth that when we put our faith and trust in him, we have a relationship with God. And we have the promised Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm going to ask that you hang on to these elements so that we can take them together as a family after we sing this song.